Welcome to Restoration Church, located in Goleta, California. To learn more about us, please visit r-church.org. To watch our service or join us via live stream, check out our YouTube channel by searching Restoration Church Goleta.
Good morning. Is my sound on? Okay. All right. Well, welcome to Restoration Church. My name is Bobby. I get the honor to preach the word this morning. We are in a series right now, for those of you that are visiting, called Oh My Soul, and we're reflecting the effects of current events on the soul, and hopefully, if you get a chance, you can go back and listen to the other sermons, because we've been building on that idea that we've been through quite a lot in the last 2 years, amen? It's been tough, and it seems like one thing after another, after another, after another, after another, and my concern is, as a pastor, that we're not stopping and going, hey, how's your soul? Better yet, how's my soul? Because the effects of all those things begin to kind of pop into our minds, and pretty soon we can find ourselves somewhat unhealthy. Now, I've been using the map scenario throughout this series, and so what you need, if you have a paper map, who remembers those? A few of you, they're out there. I don't know if you've ever seen them, maybe in a museum or something along those lines. But there's this thing, it was a map, and it used to be able to, like, you could use it to show you where to go. But you need two things on a map. And again, I think most of us know where we want to go if we're honest about our Christianity. We want to know Jesus more. We want to experience him. We want to learn the word more. Like, we have these goals and ideas of what we want to do and who we want to be and how we want to do it to the glory of God and our joy. But the other thing we need on a map that I think is being neglected specifically in this time is where you're at. So you need two things, where you're at and where you want to go to be able to negotiate a map. And so we've been asking the question, how's your soul? Now, that's not to stay inward. It's not to just simply go some sort of mystical navel gaze and sort of, you know, kind of stay in that spot. But what we've been learning is the idea of preaching to yourself. We heard it in that song. I command my soul to what? To sing. Where does that come from? The scriptures. Bless the Lord, O my soul. In other words, praise God, soul. Or don't you get it? God is worthy to be praised. Now, we are having a baptism after this. Is that all I get? And so I am determined to make this one of the shortest sermons I've preached in a long time. I feel like I've lost some trust in that area with you guys. I don't know why. I don't know. It's kind of weird. So here's where I want to begin. I want to begin with the small question of what is the purpose of life? Yeah, just a small, like, you know, just kind of an ease things in. What is the purpose of life? Now, we've mentioned this a few times. The Westminster Catechism says, what is the chief end of man? Or what is man's purpose? And so, what is the purpose of life? We see in a shortened version, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Now, so we see this, like, is this actually biblical? What the writers of Westminster Catechism did is they took the whole of Scripture and applied questions and answers, and then there's scriptural backup. Here's just a few. 1 Corinthians 10:31 on the screen. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do. And I love it that we can eat to the glory of God. Fantastic. Fantastic news. Even as small as eating something to the glory of God, drinking something to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. Look at Romans 11:36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. So, but it does beg the question, what is glory? It seems kind of ambiguous, right? To glorify God. So, what is glory? Comes from the Greek word doxa, which simply means praise. It means to praise. To praise in a direction. to praise God in for who He is and what He's done, and we'll get to that. So, this is also important. What are we to understand by the glory of God? In other words, what does the glory of God mean? So we saw that it means praise, but this is also important. There's a twofold glory. Number one, the glory that God has in Himself, His intrinsic glory. In other words, God alone is glorious. It's who He is. And what's so important about that is God does not need us to praise Him or glorify Him for Him to be worthy. He just is. And that's important because sometimes I think we can fall into a trap where it's just like, God needs my praise. It's like, no. We're praising Him because that's who He is. That's who He is. We don't need to fill some sort of divine gap in His life. We don't need to fill the box of His affirmations and His need for encouragement. God is self-sufficient, all-knowing, all-powerful, and glorious. He is majestic in His splendor. He is God. And so, He does not need us to give Him glory for it to be true. He is, as Acts 7:2 says, the God of glory. Now, number two, so twofold, the glory which is ascribed to God by His creation. In other words, we were created to understand who God is and then in response ascribe or give Him glory. All creation does this. We see this in Romans 8. That because of the fall, all creation was affected by the fall. And it waits, it longs. The scriptures use the word like yearning for the coming of the sons of man. So why? So all creation can be redeemed. The grass itself cries out and is waiting for that day, the second coming. Hopefully you want Jesus to come back more than the grass. Amen. So many stories to tell, so little time. All right, so look, it says in 1 Chronicles 16:29, ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. And then in 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, for you are bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. God is worthy, and because we are created by God, we are created to glorify Him. It is the natural response of worship. So, it does beg the question, how do we give God glory? Have you ever thought about that? Because it does seem somewhat ambiguous. It's kind of like this question that's like, what's the purpose of life? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Okay, how do you do that? One article I read, I thought, kind of surmised the idea of Scripture well. Number one, faith. Number two, worship. And number three, humble service. You see, it's a paradigm shift by faith and God's word. And so we, in word and in deed, align ourselves with what is already true, that we were created for a purpose. And that purpose is to glorify God because He is our creator and worthy. And not only is He worthy, but we enjoy Him through eternity because He is that good. It is by our faith we give Him praise through song and humble service. And it's an expression of. We saw this humble service in action yesterday with those who served at our workday, like Randy, who cut down some serious branches in this pine tree back here. They were huge. And Rick, with skillful art, trimmed the shrubs to widen the area so people could walk up on the ramp and that, you know, have more comfortable as they walk up, whether it be wheelchair or walker or just walking together. But I'm not sure if he actually enjoyed it. I know he did it to God's glory, but not to his joy. That's still debatable. Dana cleaned out our rain gutters. He was so dirty and so tired when he was done, but he did it to the glory of God, right, Dana? Right? Okay, yeah. Paul and Elsie prepped the classrooms for paint. Naz put up toilet paper covers cover holders in every bathroom, helped with plumbing and did a little bit of everything. John was a huge help organizing and cleaning out some storage areas. Juanita blessed us with the lunch, and we ate that to the glory of God and our joy. Because man, oh man, was it amazing. We didn't even know she was coming. She just like showed up like an angel out of nowhere and gave us lunch and helped in many other places. And my wife, Trina, who's an all-around rock star, organized and cleaned areas throughout. So I just want to say thank you. You were here and you're serving. Thank you. You see, it comes back to the question, how do you glorify God? And it says in 1 Peter 4, listen to this. I'm going to take and just quote the first part and the second part of these verses. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so God, through the Holy Spirit, as we believe in the Son, we receive the Holy Spirit who gives us gifts to serve one another. And that is an expression of praise or glory. So when we eat, what do, saints? Glorify God. Now, here's the interesting thing. It is a paradigm shift. And what I mean by that is that when you are sitting eating a, I don't know if you can do this to the glory of God and your joy, definitely your joy, I don't know about glory, but a McDonald's hamburger. Think God's glorified in that? It's debatable. But here's the thing, no matter where you stand on that, you can eat that hamburger, or you can stop and give thanks. That's why we pray before meals. It's not a tradition. It's an alignment of a paradigm shift that says, I'm going to eat this to the glory of God and my joy. And we eat to the glory of God. We drink to the glory of God. We serve to the glory of God. Now, Rick could have trimmed those bushes out there. Didn't have to be worship. He could have done it. But what would change in that paradigm is him, as he's trying to cut through those branches and make it nice and straight and even like a finely tuned haircut, his words, not mine. And like when he could be doing that out of many other things. Or he could be doing it to the glory of God and his joy and an expression of worship. This is our call, saints. This is what it means to glorify God and enjoy him forever. It is a paradigm shift to be cognizant of what is already true. God is God, and that through the Son that he sent to save and live and die and rise for you, you now have relationship, and as we talked about earlier, access to that God. It is reasonable for us to return to him in worship and praise. Through our faith in the revelation of who God is, which invokes praise and humble service to each other and to our world. Now, here's what I want to focus in on. What direction do you give God glory? What direction do you give God glory? I think most of us would say upward, right? But what's interesting and what I picked up on this as I was studying for this sermon and reading through the Psalms, which I do daily, I love the Psalms. What I realize is that there is directions to the praise, to praise. There's directions of the Psalms. And the answer is inward, upward, and outward. What direction do you give God glory? Inward, upward, and outward. If you would, please turn to Psalm 104. That is on page 502 so that I can make my point. Psalm 104, if you're using our pew Bibles, that's going to be on page 502. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible, please take that Bible home. That is our gift to you. If you're online and need a Bible, send us an email. We will definitely send you a Bible. And what's cool is if you don't know your way around the scriptures, we have the page number for you, so you don't have to go to table of contents, and it's easy for you to follow along. Psalm 104, and we're just going to kind of roll through this, and we're not going to read the whole thing, so I'm not going to ask you to stand this time. I'm going to read this, something I wrote in my journal as I was studying Psalm 104. The Psalms are directional, and change even within themselves. They go upward, giving God the praise. They go outward, telling others of the greatness of our God. And they go inward, telling or reminding ourselves, our souls, the truth of who God is. So let me read that again. The Psalms, as they give, I would say, an example, if not a prescription, in the direction in which we give God the glory, says this, or I observe this. They go upward to God, they go outward to others, and they go inward to our own soul. If they are to be our example of praise, and all of life is to be lived to the glory of God and our joy, then we ought to live upward, inward, upward, and outward, with the center being the splendor and glory and majesty of our Lord. Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Which direction? Inward. And it's so interesting to me that so often the condition of our souls is so neglected. Now, here's what I want to say, because we've been focusing in on this, because I think there's been neglect within the church, not just this church, but the church in general, especially over the last 2 years, and with all the things that have happened, is that we go inward, but we don't stay there. As Rick said last week, that it's okay to not be okay, just don't stay there. And we look inward towards the soul so that we can look upward and so that we can go outward. And I'm not talking about just in witness in community groups or at church. When we're singing together, we're singing songs that say things about God, and we're singing songs that say things to God. The ones that are about God, we're reminding each other. Hey, God is good. Right, let's try this. God is good. All the time. Now, that's outward. God, you are good. What direction is that? Hey, soul, don't forget God is good. Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. And so he goes on to say in verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. And then, not even finishing the verse, looks to God. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and then goes, O Lord, my God. So he goes inward and then he goes upward. You are very great and you are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light. But then look at verse 3. Hey guys, guess what he does? He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariots. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers a flaming fire. And if you read the rest of the psalm, you will see it go back and forth and back and forth. And if you go to the very end of Psalm 104, it says, let sinners be consumed from the earth and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. So he goes, hey soul, praise God. And then, God, you are so good. And then, hey guys, God is so good. And then, God, you are amazing. Like the things that you do in creation, you are so grand. We can't even, I'm paraphrasing, wrap our heads around who you are and what you've done. And then, hey, don't forget the God I'm talking about is your God. Like, see the directions? And then, hey, soul, don't forget to praise the Lord. If we could just remember all three. And this series is focusing in on that last one, the soul one, because I think that's one of the most neglected things, at least that I've seen, in the body of Christ. The ability to be able to preach the gospel to yourself. When Dana stood up here and he talked about, like, we were going to do confession in a time of reflection and just kind of, like, just be for a second. Be still and know that God is God. What did he say? That we have access to this great God. And in that moment, we have the ability to either believe it and receive it or just go, eh. Now, we can do that to ourselves. We can say, hey, they got your attention? I am a son of the living King. I will not live this way anymore. As we learned last week, we have that power. And then lies come in, as Dana talked about. You're not worthy. I saw what you did last night. I saw what you did this morning. I saw what you didn't do this morning. I saw your neglect. I saw your impatience with your kids. I see your pride all the time. It stinks. Now, I have a choice. I can believe that, or I can go, you may be right, but you forget the rest. The sun has died and rose against the death you're speaking to me right now. Church, preach to yourself. Take the things you learn on Sundays and community groups and personal time in the Word and preach. Preach. All right. There is a book in the foyer that is a tool for you to be able to do that. And so you can buy it after service. And it says, it starts with dear self and all the different subjects. Start taking the scripture and start turning it towards prayers and proclaim to your own soul. Like, take the truths that you know and remind yourself. But don't stay there. Be healthy here so you can be healthy here. So that you can align yourself to the glory of God and your joy. And begin to, like Jesus says, I have completed the works that you have given me. I have glorified your name on the earth. Do we not want that? So that on that day we can go, we can hear, Diane, well done, good and faithful servant. Ah, Rick, Juanita, well done, good and faithful servant. So, God, knowing your name, and these truths are wrapped up in this amazing little feast we have called communion. The bread represents the body of Christ broken for us, and the juice represents his blood spilled for us. You see, without his life, death, and resurrection, none of this is possible. We don't even have contact to our own soul. We're done for. Our end is hell. We face the wrath of God on our own. But God, by his grace, has sent his son. God so loved the world. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so I'm going to invite the elders to come forward. And what we're going to do is once a month, the first Sunday of every month, we take communion as a family. And so I'm going to ask you to come to the table in a minute. And then Dana is going to lead us in communion. And the worship band, if you guys want to come up, they have a song to sing over you as you're coming to the table. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name and pray that you would bless this time. That you would continue to fill us with your Spirit. And that we would leave here encouraged and changed to live into the power that you've given us, your word, to speak into not only our souls, but those around us, so that we may give you praise, to give you glory, and experience great joy. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thanks for listening in. If you have any questions or need prayer, send us an email at info@r-church.org. Grace and peace.